pray for people at the end of the service, and also try and be done at a time where it's going to be timely for those that are involved in this luncheon, helping us out at the end of the service for that as well. This morning I'm going to be speaking about releasing a flow of provision. I sense that God's already been speaking to us today about releasing some spiritual things among us, and I just embrace also this divine blanket that God's putting on each one of us. I believe that God wants to give us protection, give us His comfort, His love, His assurance that all things are well as far as He's concerned in your life. No matter what you're going through in turmoil, perhaps around you, the natural realm, God is called the God of peace. And the Bible says the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, okay? So I want you again to take note of those sermons, the messages you heard in the past few weeks here by people again like Chuck Lenhart, by people like Glenn Hubbard, that we are going to be seeing Satan under our feet. And we use God's word in so many ways to do that. So last week here, in kind of a recap, you know, in a short way here, we're talking again about the thankfulness we have because of the Thanksgiving that happened in our nation several hundred years ago. Doing some research on Google, whatever else, you're going to find that our pilgrims, our founding fathers who came here, they suffered a whole lot of setbacks, bad weather, they had sickness, they had things take place on the ships they were on. When they came to America, they did not know how to grow crops and see crops be successfully raised. And many of them, because they were so hungry or even almost starving to death, they fell ill to all kinds of disease and sickness because of the immune system being so weak in their bodies. Well, praise God, the American Indians that were in their area came to them and showed them how to take and put fish in the plants, the corn they actually were growing, as fertilizer for that corn. It increased their crops so much they had a bountiful supply the next year. They also showed them how to get maple syrup out of the maple trees there in the parts they were at by Vermont, or the East Coast they were at, and also used that, of course, for sugar, for cooking, and so forth. They also gave them the recipe for cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster. That last may not have happened there, but the fact was these Indians, American Indians, helped to save their lives the next year, and they all came together for a Thanksgiving dinner, actually in October the first time, because they were so thankful for what had taken place for them to get them through and get them through a rough year, a lean year the year before that, and not seeing themselves starving and being sick like they were the year before. So this whole Thanksgiving season is about us rejoicing in the bounty of God, God's provision for us. I'm going to be speaking here again these few weeks here about how God's provision needs to be flowing more so in our lives as God desires that would take place. Also last week, I mentioned a thing about mountains and gates. That God gives us supply on the mountains, just like He gave a supply to Abraham for Isaac. He caused that ram to be caught in the thickets. It was on the mountain God gave provision. Then He said, now leave the mountain, go down to the gates, and take possession of the land I've given to you. God gave Moses 10 commandments on the mount called Mount Sinai. And He said, come off the mountain now, give those commandments to my people down there, and take and possess the gates now of the enemy. Jesus Christ Himself died on a mountain, on a place called Mount Calvary. And He says, now I'm now King of Kings. I'm now Lord of Lords. I paid the price for you. Now you guys understand the gates of hell should not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. I have paid the price on the cross, on the mountain. Provision was paid for you guys. Now take that provision and use that now to expand my kingdom and be a blessing to those around you as well. I also gave you last week a thing called the divine kingdom mandate. God told us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion over all living things on the earth, and be those who expand my kingdom every day of your lives. Noah's flood comes several hundred years later because of man's sin. When Noah leaves the ark, God tells Noah the exact same mandate all over again. Man's purpose is still be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and conquer Satan's kingdom in my name. Then Jesus Christ, He dies on the cross. He's raised again. He says to the disciples, go to the upper room, receive power from on high. He also says in Matthew, though, gives a divine mandate once again. He says, go to all the people groups, go to all kingdoms, all nations, preach the gospel, make disciples of all people groups, and go in my name. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, is what Jesus Christ said to them. The mandate back then is also true today. God is calling us to occupy until He comes. Amen? We don't need survival bunkers. We don't need AK-47s and AR-15 rifles and bullets and guns and all kind of canned goods being stored up. We need the Holy Spirit living inside of us, hearing God's voice on a daily basis, having God's Word in us and flowing through us, and realizing God is calling us to take land, not hunker down until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? So Thanksgiving and Christmas are about God's provision. This series here again is not about me needing more from you guys. It's about us as a church and the body of Christ needing more to do what God has called us to do. The most expensive word in the Bible is found back in Matthew 28, where Jesus Christ says, "Go and preach the gospel to every people group." How many folks know there's folks in India that need the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them? There's folks in Kazakhstan. There's folks in Tibet. There's people out there in Russia, Ukraine, African nations, South American nations. They all need the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed to them. All these things will take money and finances also from God's people. Amen? So when God says go, God also says, I'm going to supply your needs by my riches and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. And realize again, we need the funds to do this. So I believe God's releasing to me a mandate also in this church to see provision increase, not for my sake, but for your sake, for God's kingdom's sake, to be able to do more for God till Jesus Christ comes back upon the face of the earth. I want to move on here and say we need unlimited resources, which is the economy that God gives to us, is unlimited resources, because it's all God's kingdom, not our kingdom we rely upon for resources for our lives. Last week I said to you guys, if you look into the word economy up in UT's doctorate program, economics and economy, economics there means limited supply attempting to meet an unlimited need on the earth. Limited supply, meeting an unlimited need, is man's economics on the earth. God's economy says 5 loaves and 2 fishes will feed 5,000 people. That my God supplies all of our needs by riches and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. We don't rely upon just our own paychecks, our own jobs, our own strength, our own might. We have God also working through us to increase the supply for us. There might be a sufficiency there of abundance to see God's desires met and going forth upon the face of the earth. We're going to look now this morning here at about 7 principles, 7 keys here, that God's going to release a flow of provision to each one of us today in greater measure. Because all of us in this room here need to have more if you're going to do what God's called us to do in the Great Commission before Jesus Christ comes back once again. Praise God, the people again are in our forefathers back in the realms of the pilgrims and the Indians, they had a supply around them that was not yet tapped into. The word Jehovah Jireh means my God, who the provision that can be or shall be seen is the Lord my God. There was always fish around them. There was always people fish around them. They just did not have the knowledge and wisdom to see those things to meet their needs in that era several hundred years ago. Praise God, the Indians knew the need was there and knew the provision was also there, and they gave them knowledge and wisdom there to say, you don't need to starve here. Here's the fish. Here's the trees. Tap into them. There shall be for your families provision now on an ongoing basis when you use these things in your lives in this way. I could spend about, again, 30 to 40 minutes on each one of these points today. I don't have time to do that. I'm going to kind of go through these things in kind of a quick type fashion. I could give about 6 or 10 scriptures in the Bible someplace, somewhere, for each point I make today. I don't have time for that at all this morning. Amen? So I'm going to give you guys a few verses here in chronological order as far as the Bible is concerned here. Take and write some notes down. Write some things down today. There'll be things to take home and think about, ponder about, and pray about yourself. And may this bring forth to you guys some life, some wisdom, and some spiritual breakthroughs for your life also, as it gives you guys some principles from God's Word about provision increasing also in your life. And again, this is not about budgeting, about saving money, or about a financial seminar. Go to Dave Ramsey and get things like that from him. This is about spiritual, biblical truths from God's Word, faith-building things in the invisible realm that God brings forth visible results from these when we obey what God says in God's Word. So again, this entire series is based on the mandate from God that God gave Abraham that says, I'm going to bless you that you might be a blessing to other folks around you in your life. How many folks believe that? God's going to bless us, not for our sake only. God wants to bless us to bless others and be a blessing through us for those God puts in our path, as only God also can do. So, number one this morning here, Psalm 92, starting in verse 12, is be committed and connected to the church. To receive God's release of a flow in your life for divine provision, you must be connected to the church of Jesus Christ on the earth. Psalm 92, verse 12 through 14 says this, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they shall what? They shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in their old age. They shall be fresh and they shall be flourishing as long as they are alive." It says again, those in the courts of God, those in the house of God, those in the church of God will be flourishing even in their old age. Now, how many folks want that in your life? Well, God says again, you need to belong to, connected to the church of Jesus Christ to do this. I'm not saying be connected to this church or to a local church. I'm saying be hooked up to the church universal of Jesus Christ on the face of the earth. Amen? That means you can understand the first thing that disciples did that were trained by Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, they received power from on high on the day of Pentecost. They then go out there and plant their first local church in the place called Jerusalem. So if those guys were trained by Jesus Christ to do that, how much more you and I today follow their example and realize the church is not man's idea, the church is God's idea. God trained disciples, God poured in disciples, God told disciples, receive my power from on high, and then go plant local churches in every city in this whole region then go to the entire earth planting churches. Let them be governed by me, says God, and display my glory, my presence, my character, my nature. Train up folks, make disciples, and send them out of churches across the nations until Jesus Christ comes back in only a few weeks or months or years for us upon the earth. Now, again, the fact is there's only one church, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. But there are actually camps and tribes of those churches that are called local churches, like Tree of Life is also today. Now, many folks today are saying, well, there's a whole lot of stink in the church. I've given a message here months and months and months ago about how Noah's Ark was a place that God gave an example to us of local churches. In the Noah's Ark, God said, bring all the clean animals two by two. Bring at least 7 pairs of them. Bring in unclean animals there again two by two as well. And he said there, put a little 18-inch opening along the top of that ark and seal yourselves in and let the winds come forward, let the waves come out, let the fountains of the deep break forth, let the rains pour down. You shall be saved, says the Lord. The ark was a type of local churches even today. In that ark for weeks and months, there were animals in that place in confined quarters doing what animals do best, eating and then doing things beyond eating. Amen? They were all closed in together for weeks and weeks and months and days. Probably didn't smell that great. The good news is, even though there's a whole lot of stink sometimes in the ark, it's a whole lot better in the ark than it is outside the ark. Amen? Now, sometimes some stinky things take place in local churches, even like this one here today. The good news is it's better in this place than out there in the world where Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy. And God is saying again, the ark will be a boat that will float until Jesus Christ comes back. He will build his church, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it until Jesus Christ comes back. So I'm saying, you guys, be patient, be forgiving, be tolerant, be godly, be loving, and realize the local church, the church, is God's idea, not man's idea. Be hooked up with that, connected to that, involved with that, because through that comes a flow of provision for your life that God promises in Psalm 92 and verses also beyond that as well. Moving on here, number two, we receive God's increase progressively. We receive God's increase progressively. Psalm chapter 115, verses 14 and 15 say this, "May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children, may you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and also who made earth." God said to us through Jesus Christ, "Those who are faithful in little things, I will give you much more in due time." I praise God I'm seeing this lived out in folks around us, this congregation, like today we heard from Damien. We heard from Sarah and George. Heard from Michael Watson as well. What these guys were all saying was, I was faithful in little things, and God gave me much more in grace, provision, finances, raises, promotions, ministry opportunities there. God will give you more and more and more when you're faithful in the little, is what God's saying to you and I also. God works in ways that are called progressive ways, increasing ways. God may begin small with us, but God opens up the windows of heaven in due time for us, and God brings great increase and great breakthroughs to us in due time for those who are faithful in small things in their lives. Jesus Christ also gave the parable of the prodigal. And of course, the prodigal shows us this guy squandered his inheritance at a very, very young age. That's why God tells us, I don't give you guys inheritances when you're young and immature and not trustworthy and not wise or seasoned inside your life. I will wait until you finally can receive the promises, receive the bounty, receive the provision there. Then I bring those things out to those that are responsible, those that are mature, those that are seasoned, can use that inheritance wisely. I then give those things to them in due time and in due season. That's why, again, God will wait for us many times to receive a character development inside of our hearts, for God pours out, opens up the windows of heaven to us, and bring out so much blessing we can't contain what God gives into our lives. How many folks realize also that God is not a lotto God? You can't just take and say a certain prayer, and by that certain magical prayer, God says, cha-ching, opens up the windows of heaven to us, and here comes great blessings and millionaire results in one day, one week, or one month. We don't serve a lotto God. I want to say beyond that also, you can't even be promised to go sow into a certain ministry and expect instant results from doing that. No matter what some TV evangelist tells you, that is not the truth and that is not a fact. Amen? Because the truth is, there are people on TV that say, sow in this ministry $1,000 seed today. You'll receive a 100-fold return within 5 or 6 months or weeks or days. And the fact is, thousands of folks do that, and they don't all receive that return within 5 or 6 days or weeks or months in their lives. What does God's word say about this? God says obedience is better than sacrifice. To heed the voice of God is better than the fat of lambs being sacrificed to me. What does God mean by that? What God means is, I want my people to start hearing my voice in the realms of giving and sowing in their ministries, their lives, their finances, their times, their gifts, and their talents. Amen? I've been married now to Cheryl for, again, I'm thinking like 32 years now, 32 and a half years of good wedded bliss. Amen? All good times together in Jesus' name. And I want to say to you guys truthfully, sometimes what God's done in my life has told me, go to Macy's, Dillard's, somewhere like that, and buy your wife some clothes. And I'll come back with sometimes 5 or 6 pants or dresses or blouses, more so in the past than the near present. You know, I did come back a few days back with some stuff for you that I found out there at Macy's. And when I did that, hearing God's voice, I was amazed that within about a week or a few days sometimes, I received some surprise amount of blessing in my life of finances that I was totally unexpected in my life to take place like that. I learned those things. It's what God's saying to us is, it's not so much where you're sowing at, it's are you hearing God's voice and sowing in obedience to what God says to you to sow into in your life. Because God may be saying to you guys, buy your wife a necklace, buy your child a book, buy your husband a brand new Harley. I mean, God might be saying some things like that. And the most important thing is hearing God's voice, heeding His voice is better than the fat of rams. Amen? That's not a hint for Cheryl. I don't want a Harley right now. This is a toy. I'm just telling you, guys here, be hearing and listening to what God says. Don't receive manipulation there from evangelists or some things that are saying to you guys, I promise you 100-fold return even tomorrow, next week, next month. Nobody can promise you that. Only God can bring the increase. Amen? The Bible says you sow and God brings the increase, but it comes from obedience, not from people's hype and emotions and things of that nature. Number three is bless Israel. Now, all these things are important equally. They're not in some kind of order here of what's most important, the least important. Number three, might sound strange to you, some of you guys here, but the fact is the Bible tells us, God tells us in His Word, bless Israel. Psalm 122, verse 6 through 8 says this, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. May they prosper again who love Israel. It's a bit of a mystery this morning why this is, but the fact is I found that if people will take and pray for and sow into Israel's benefit and blessings, they always receive blessings somehow, some way back into their lives. Next week, we have our friend coming back here named Glenn Hubbard as we're away in Kansas. Please come back and listen to his guy. He had a great message here on a Wednesday night about throwing the stones away in a natural realm and spiritual realm as well. He'll come back this coming Sunday. But Glenn Hubbard told me, Holy Spirit has spoken my life about three things to sow into last year. Said one of those was, he said, I want you to start taking and blessing Israel with your church's funds and finances somehow, some way. Glenn said when we started doing that at our church, our income doubled in only about 2 or 3 months in our congregation. Now, when I say that, you might say, well, praise God, Pastor Mike, do the same thing for Tree of Life Church and expect the same results. The key there was God spoke to him and said, you guys right now this year start sowing into Israel and see what happens. Now, I'm saying to you guys right now, the main key there again is when you bless Israel, you will be blessed yourself somehow, some way in your life. I'm not promising you guys if you take and sow into Israel by John Hagee, whatever else, in the near future, you're going to receive an instant supply back to you automatically. But I am saying God's word tells us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Sow into them spiritual praying seeds, and also pray to God, say, God, what can I do in a natural realm as well to bless Israel as a nation with my funds, my finances, my resources, somehow, some way, before Christ comes back. You know, the fact also is the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The first ones to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ were the Jews of Israel. They're the last harvest to be reaped before Jesus Christ comes back. I believe that. And right now, the good news is folks around the entire earth are coming together to reach every single Jew with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are very, very close, I believe, to the return of Christ himself, because almost every people group has now heard the gospel proclaimed at least one time. And now the Jews are being reached like never before in Israel. I'm saying pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for their blessings and their salvation in this era. I want to also say in 2014, I'm praying to God that God would show and reveal to us at Tree of Life Church, how can we bless Israel more next year than we have this year? How can we pray for them more, sow into them more, do things for them more? I even see perhaps Glenn Hubbard coming here with some of his folks in his congregation, helping us have a Seder meal done here in our congregation perhaps next year to show us some of the types and shadows that God reveals to us of New Testament truths by things God did back in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel. So moving on here, number four. Number four is, put God first and you will prosper. Put God first and you will prosper. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 say this. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Now, when the Bible says here, your possessions, it kind of seems there that God says what you have is actually yours. What God is saying here is the things you possess actually belong to God, because the Bible also says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I see possessions I have as tools God places in my hand to steward over until I die or until Jesus Christ comes back to the face of the earth. I don't own things around me in my life. God owns them. Amen? God owns your car, God owns your house, God owns this entire state, God owns our city, God owns our nation, and when God owns things, God blesses things. Amen? So God says your possessions belong to me, but again, your possessions will increase in the land when you put God first, also in your life. Amen? In our lives, in our ministry time back in the 1980s, Cheryl and I met a precious woman of God who's now gone on with the Lord. She died several years ago, named Lou Kemp. Lou Kemp lived in Duncanville, Texas. She was a widow. Her husband died decades ago. And she was a born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ at a very, very powerful megachurch in the Duncanville, Texas area. This lady was so generous with her income, her house, her cars, her time. It was totally blowing us away as students at Christ for the Nations Institute. She would take missionaries into her house sometimes for 2 and 3 months at a time. Feed them, take care of them, let them use her bedrooms, her house, her water. She would let them use her car sometimes. She'd give out money and funds to folks around the world or helping out in ministry ways. She's just a very, very sweet, humble, generous person. Her motto, I know, was, "What I own is not mine. It all belongs to the Lord. My husband's dead. I'm by myself. I got a 4-bedroom house. May I use that to be a blessing to God's people and God's kingdom until I die upon the face of the earth." When Lou Kemp saw Jesus Christ face to face a few years ago, I know he said to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joys and rewards of heaven, because you're going to receive much of what you did in the few years you lived on the face of the earth." She was an inspiration. She was a blessing. She was a person, again, just of God's glory. And I loved her so much. A great example to us. I want to move on here. Number 5, God seeks to qualify so that he can also multiply. God seeks to qualify so he can also multiply. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18 to 21 says this: "Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver, and I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths," notice this, "of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." Even full is what God is saying here in these verses. These are very, very rich verses. This is a whole 30-minute message at least in itself. I'm going to try to get through this in a few minutes here. Notice it says here that God traverses, which means God walks among the paths of righteousness and also goes along the ways of justice in his life. By doing that, he says, he produces wealth for us and makes our treasuries become full by doing that also in our lives. God is opening up to us his heart and showing us he rewards those who observe and are careful to walk in righteousness and stay on the paths of justice also in their lives upon the earth. Think about a woman whose name is Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer was captured by God as a young lady, and God got a hold of her heart and her life, and God saw something in her of gold and diamonds and treasures that was not quite tapped into yet. And of course, we all know today, she now touches the nations for Jesus Christ by the millions across the entire face of this nation and also the face of the earth. Joyce Meyer tells us, though, the first thing God did in my life when I got saved and spirit-filled, he began to tweak me, kind of take and shape me and form me in his own image and likeness and get all the rough edges that were not right in my life to become right and line up with his ways, his character, his nature, his love on the earth. When she first began ministering, she was in her living room smoking cigarettes, teaching Bible studies at a big spirit-filled megachurch in St. Louis, Missouri. I met her back in that era doing rock seminars back in 1981. Didn't know who she was, what she was from. She came to me in kind of a trembling type way, kind of a nervous type way. "I'm Joyce Meyer. I'm Mike Johnson. Big deal." And I'm saying, I had no idea I was seeing a mega minister in the making way back several decades ago. She goes on and says, "God began to tweak my habits, my speech, my attitude toward my husband, my rebellious ways, my anger problems, my speech. All the things were not righteous. God began making right and righteous in her life on a week by week, day by day, month by month basis." The good news is, though, that God showed Joyce Meyer, "Now that I see that things are right in your life, I'm going to now release now justice to you. Those years your father molested you for weeks and months and years, I now heal your heart. I now set your soul free. I now do justice in your life, says the Lord. And I bring to you soundness and peace and joy and healing, says God, in your life for the first time." You see, justice always will follow righteousness in your life as well. As I was putting this thing together on Friday, the Spirit of God was so strong in the room I was at when I went through these scriptures here, that God was saying to me, "Is folks in this room today, you've gone through times, you're getting your lives lined up with what God's will and God's word and God's character is all about. You're getting into a righteous type realm of your life. But God is saying, stored up for you also now is a time of judgment for justice in your lives, where you pay back everything Satan has stolen from you If you'll believe God, that God's a God, not just of righteousness, God's a God also of justice in your lives. Amen? Let's look now at Job chapter 42 to belabor this a little bit longer. Job 42, verse 7 and 8. This is Job at the very end of his temptation. He's lost his cattle, his herds, his children. He's lost his crops. He's lost his health. He's got boils on his body. And the Bible says, I think his three friends come to him. And they're pointing out all the reasons Job's going through what Job's going through. They're saying, I don't do this, and I'm healthy and wealthy and wise, but you're doing these bad things, Job. And that's why you're sick and depressed and cast down and you're broke and you've lost all your crops and herds. That's the reason evil comes on your life, Job, because you're not a righteous person. That was not the truth. God himself said to Satan, have you seen a man on the whole earth like my servant Job? You see, he was actually being pointed out by God as a righteous, upright person. So it says here in Job 42, verse 7, these friends give a wrong discourse about Job. And it says, and so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends also. For you have not spoken, notice this, of me, what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls and seven rams. How many folks know that rams are the male sheep or goats that actually do the budding? I tell you guys time and again that, you know, lambs say, Abba, 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 Father. They're soft and meek and gentle, amen? But goats and rams and ewes, they say, yes, but, yes, but. What God is saying here is, these three friends have spoken so much bull and so much yes buts, I want them to now give them to me to burn on an altar. That's what it says right here. Notice this. Go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering of seven bulls and seven rams. They spoke so much bull and they did so much yes butting that God says, bring that bull and bring those butts to me. Bring those ewes to me, I'm sorry. And burn those things like those words you spoke on an altar. They make me sick to my stomach is what God is saying to them. Then he goes on and says this, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you guys according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Then verse 10 goes on and says this, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When Job did what was righteous and what was right, he prayed for his friends. It says, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God released justice when Job released what was right and righteous. Amen. That's why God's word says to us in Psalms, God goes or traverses the paths of righteousness, and he brings forth also the ways of justice to bring to you guys wealth and treasures into your lives. There are right now some keys to you folks receiving breakthroughs in your finances, your marriages, your health, and so forth. If you'll take note and go with God now on the paths of rightness and righteousness, it might mean forgiving somebody who's offended you. It might mean believing God that this thing shall be healed off my life. It might be your speech, your attitude. It might be your depression, your discouragement. Give those things to God and say, oh God, may I be a person who lines up with your ways, your word, what is right in your eyes, that you might release then justice to me in Jesus' name. Because true justice is, you're prosperous, you are blessed, you are healed, you are restored, you are right, you are friendly, you love life, you're full of God's joy. These are just things in your life that God wants for your life. Amen? Can you catch that? You hear what I'm saying? God is saying, burn the bulls up, burn the ewes up, those things that are yes buts, those things that are out of our mouths that are trash. Make them a burnt offering to God and see God release justice in your life. Moving on, number six. Number six is expect reciprocity in your life. Proverbs 11:25 says this, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters others will also be watered himself. Reciprocity actually means the exchanging with others for the purpose of mutual benefit in your life. The Bible says time and again, things like give and it shall be given to you. Sow and you shall reap. We cannot outgive God. Amen. So God says, do things for me, I'll do things right back also for you. But he also says, in due season you will reap if you faint not. Amen? So God honors a law called reciprocity. So expect that also as a release of a provision for your life. Last of all, number 7, God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8, we all know this perhaps in this room today, but it says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Notice this, not grudgingly or of necessity. It says, but God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work in your life. Now, God says, don't give grudgingly. Don't give of necessity. That's why you don't find us from the pulpits here many times saying things like, we need $5,000. We need nursery workers. We need child counselors. We try to understand what God's saying to us is, when you give out of a need, you're giving out of a disservice even to yourself and to God. God loves cheerful givers, not those that are made to give, those that see needs of starving kids with flies on their eyes. Those things are all real needs that are out there. But God says, don't give out of needs or grudgingly. Give out of a cheerful heart of what God will do with your gift. As God blesses that gift, God uses that gift for the glorification of his own Son, Jesus Christ, and to expand his kingdom on the face of the earth. Amen? Now, the truth is, God receives offerings from grouches. Amen? You can be a grouch, and God says, okay, be a grouch, and go ahead and give anyway. Start there. Start someplace. The main thing God says, in due time, due season, become a cheerful, hilarious giver in your life. Loving what you give because you heard God's voice, you heard God speak, and you're obeying what God said, and now you're saying, praise God, I can't wait to do what God said to do in the gift I'm sowing right now to India, to Africa, to Tree of Life Church, my wife, my son, my brother, whatever it may be there. But God says again, God loves a cheerful giver. And the good news is it also goes on and says here, God will make all grace then abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things. Yes. One thing that Shannon said that God showed her about our church a few weeks ago was to pray about sufficiency in our congregation and for this church. I see this word also used right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 8. What God says, when you obey my word and sow where I say to sow at, I will cause grace to abound to you more so, to be able to do more and more and more things like this, says the Lord, in the days ahead. There's some grace right now to give the tithe or bring forth the bare minimum. It's what God's saying to us. But I'm going to cause all grace now to abound to you, to go above and beyond the normal in your life, is what God's saying to us. Verse 10 goes on finally and says, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness in your lives. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now to help me out. James, and those who may want to join him can do it too, I'm sure, but James will be enough for us. I want to close here in a moment before we take up an offering this morning for tithes and offerings. I want to pray for folks in our congregation at the end of the service here. So I really believe what God has spoken to my heart is he wants to release to us an ability to see blockages broken from us that's causing us not to have the flow of God take place for provision in our lives. Damien Hancock testified this morning and said, I went through a season of my life where my home was in foreclosure. I was going to seize my own car as well. But somehow, some way, God saw me through all of those things. And God used me in Afghanistan to reach some folks for Jesus Christ I could not have otherwise reached had I not gone through the hardships I've gone through. The good news is the Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. We don't camp in darkness. We don't camp in lack. We don't camp in poverty. We don't camp in just enough. God's ordained for all of us in the body of Christ to have more than enough in our lives. Amen? And God is saying to us today, it is not right for folks in the body of Christ to just barely be getting by in their lives, because God's a God of abundance and ongoing provision for us, not for our sake, but for those we touch his sake as well. upon the face of the earth. Amen. So ushers, come to the front now. We're going to receive tithes and offerings right now in this part of the service. But I'm going to let them do that. I'm going to come back briefly.